If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy, of course, Giant. Amazing thank you to Devin Ritchie and Michael Romanos. Both great episodes and both awesome people that I love talking to. I also apologize about the lack of episodes recently. I've been dealing with a lot of shit, to put it mildly. I had a couple of health scares recently at work. I'm okay, guys. It's really, really hot in the city already, which is probably not good. We'll find out how the rest of the summer goes, but, you know, it's all good. I'm okay. Also, let you guys know, if you listen to Devin's episode, you wanted to know what I was talking about that I could not talk about. So two huge things. One, do you remember last year when I was telling you guys about my UCB show, All Is Fine in Sunny Florida, and the hopeful Fringe production, which unfortunately never happened? Well, we do have a run this summer in July at one of my favorite theaters in the whole city, Manhattan Repertory Theater, a theater I've done a lot of shows in. And it's going to be great. Most of the cast is unfortunately not able to do it, but we're going to be recasting a lot of roles and casting new roles because the play is 30 minutes longer than it was before. And I'd still like to think really fucking funny. So that's important. Another exciting thing that I am excited to talk about. Okay, so also in July, I've been told by a lot of people, hey, you should teach a podcasting class. Guess what, guys? It's happening. I believe it's going to be every Wednesday in July, except for the week of the show. If you go to improvtraininghub.com, you'll see all the information. It's $100 for 4 sessions. In that, you'll learn how to develop an idea for a podcast, do a dummy podcast episode, record podcasts, stuff like that. It's going to be really exciting. If you want a crash course, everything you need to know to make a good podcast, that's easiest way to do it. It's not too expensive. It's capped at 8 students or whatever. People signing up. I feel really scared because my guest is ripping her clothes off, for lack of a better word. We'll talk to her shortly. Another thing, of course, you know, there's so many ways you can support the show. You can go to iTunes, rate us, review us, give us 5-star reviews. I'm actually getting distracted by this, Marshall.
It's great because it's a visual gag.
It's not even a gag.
I'm keeping up with it, and no one can see it.
Wow, this is great. If you go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review and say, I love Hit the Mark so much it makes me rip off my clothes.
Yeah.
And then make that happened there. You will get yourself a free Hit the Mark shirt if you email htmpod@gmail.com. Go Zazzle, buy shirts, hats, mugs there. Of course, go hitthemark.podomatic.com. You'll see all 195 numbered episodes. Yeah, it's number 195. We're almost at 200, guys. That's terrifying to think of that, but it's exciting as shit, too, at the same time. Yeah, so if you want to do that, you can support us with the PayPal button there, and you can donate as much or as little as you want. And it all supports the show. Today's guest, Marsha Louise, will talk to her very shortly. You may hear from her, all right, because she's been ripping off her clothes. Guys, in case you haven't realized, my podcast is very sensual. It makes you rip off your clothes in the first 5 minutes. I expect everyone's fully naked by now while listening to this podcast.
I am.
So that's pretty cool. Before we get to her, I got to do my quick play review. I saw The Visit on Broadway, which, holy fucking shit, that is an amazing play, guys. It is up for Best Musical. It's the last Candor in Ebb musical. It's got Cheetah Rivera, whom I've never seen on stage. It's based on an amazing play by Frederick Durmond. I think I pronounced his name right. He's an amazing playwright. If you ever go to a Barnes & Noble and just look in the play section, you'll see a couple of his plays. Because he wrote The Visit. He wrote this play called The Physicist, which is my favorite play of his. And he writes a lot of weird... He wrote a lot of weird theater, and he's a really exciting playwright. Well, was a really exciting playwright, because he's dead, I believe. I mean, he was writing in the 50s and 60s, so... And his plays were very mature, weird, dark comedies. That's beside the point. This production is fucking incredible. You might have heard of The Visit, the musical, because it's technically been around since 2001. Chita Rivera was in the first production of it in 2001. She's done the main role in every subsequent production. It's been like all over like the Northeast, pretty much, and Chicago, I believe, since then, every few years. And it's really fucking cool. Like, it reminded me a lot of like weird college theater that I did, but with an amazing Cantor and Ebb score that was beautiful, haunting, and funny. I still can't get the song Yellow Shoes out of my head, which I saw on the show like a week ago, and it's still stuck in my head, which is probably not a good thing, but a good thing at the same time. It's at the Lyceum Theater on Broadway. If you want to see it at a discount, there's an amazing discount code that I tried to get my guest today to come see the show with, but she was busy that night. If you go to telecharge offers.com and type in TV Talk 520, like Television Talk 520, but TV, because that's The Visit, you will get to see tickets for the rear mezzanine and balcony for $19.75. A fucking steal. So go see it. It hits the mark. It's great. And almost as great as this guest today. I think she is fucking swell. People have said a lot of cool things about her. I think she's really funny as shit and really endearing and a really good actress. Okay, improviser. No, she's a good improviser. I'm building her up too much.
You are.
But she's fucking awesome. You already know she's naked.
I am.
Marsha Louise.
It's so fun being able to do a podcast because I can be naked for such a
reason. In theory, I mean, anyone can be naked involved in the show.
Yeah.
Like, on both ends.
Like, I'm just going to let everyone know that probably everyone you've interviewed has been naked, right?
Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really awkward.
Like, when I walked in and you were like, okay, take off all your clothes, I was like, okay, understood.
That would be, like, such a cool idea for like a show, though. Like, just, like, in a way, just be, like, and answer the door naked.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, hey, come on in. Get comfy. Get very comfy.
If you answer the door naked, I don't know what I would have done, though,
what would you have
honestly.
Done?
Okay.
You would have stopped answering my text, probably, first.
No, because my phone was dead.
Well, you would have stopped answering
actually,
my text.
Actually, this scenario is really interesting, okay. Now that it's proposed.
All right.
Because my phone was dead.
Right. I did text you, like...
Yeah, you called, and I was like, don't do that. My phone's dead. If I can't read your address, I will never see you. And I was on the street, and I actually thought that. And I was like, this is not a good plan, man.
Well, I did not know that, so...
So, I know, because I was going to, like, answer and be like, my phone's dead, but if I answered, it would have actually died. I felt like I was in, like, an excellent, like, Hitchcock film, but I was just, holding, like, my ringing phone, and I was like, I can't do it! I can't! But if I'd answered the door, you'd answered the door, and I was standing there with a dead phone... It would have died upon that answer, and you were standing there naked, just like, hey, come on in. What would I have done? I probably would have walked in, honestly. Like, I would have walked in. I would have said, oh, I'm so sorry, cover my eyes. And then you would have been like...
Get naked.
And I would have probably said no, and I probably would have said, where's the bathroom? Or something, so I could, like, get away. It's, like, a small private room. And then I would have, like, held your sink. I haven't seen the construction of your bathroom, so I'm just going to guess.
Okay.
I would have held the sink, looked at myself in the mirror, and would have gone, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then I would have come outside, having looked myself in the eyes in preparation to come back out. And then I would have said, let's wear clothes. Honestly, when I come back out and, like, I'm saying that, I'm picturing you, like, making eggs. Like,
right, that's, I mean, of like, course, I was like a guy that would have, like, hot flames near my crotch while making eggs.
I've made eggs naked.
What?
I've made eggs naked.
Okay. And
plus, I guess, that, but it's also not also, anywhere near my crotch.
It's
if
like,
you think about,
right,
like,
for those,
where a stove is.
Marshall's very short, but amazing. Which
I like how it's like always gonna be a butt. It's like I could have been like, she's very short,
but terrible.
So clearly terrible.
Yeah, yeah. No. She's a foot and a half shorter than me, but honestly, a foot and a half more amazing than me.
You are having a field day building me up.
I dig you.
I also want to go back and explain why we got on the naked thing, because I was ripping apart my joints.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm going to do this for the whole show, and...
The thing is, I just got these. These are not jorts that I made myself. These were pre-made jorts. So yeah. I'm not familiar with all the pieces that are hanging off of
them.
So this is just me getting to know them. It's like me understanding...
Is short the right
jort.
The word for jean shorts?
No. Jorts and jean shorts are two very specific cousins of each other.
Okay.
So a jean short is like the cut of your shorts that you're wearing. So you're wearing those Madra cargo shorts right now.
Okay.
That's what you're wearing, in case you weren't aware.
I knew they were cargo shorts.
Those are Madras as well.
I have a Madra.
It's the type of pattern that you have on right now.
Okay.
That's a Madra pattern. Featured it heavily in the book The Outsiders. They talk about Soshas wear Madras and the Outsiders don't. So jorts are a pair of jeans that you have cut to be such, or have been ripped.
They're barely cousins.
They're cousins. They're related.
Okay, I mean they're definitely the same thing.
They go to the same family reunion.
They're like kissing brothers and sisters. That's what they are.
Whoa, I am unfamiliar with that one.
Well, they're like really close, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the type of person who wears them, well, I guess that's a lie, because I own all of the types of shorts.
All the types of the shorts, guys.
I do.
Marshall owns every type of short. She went to the short factory and be like, hey, I need every kind of shorts there are. And like, every kind, like, yeah, every kind.
Yeah, I do own too many clothes. I own a lot of clothes.
I've never seen wear the same thing twice, I just realized, too.
Yeah, I try to make a point of that. I actually have not done laundry in 2 months, too, so I can't have worn the same thing more than once.
You're making me so scared of the idea of like, going to like, your apartments and your room and just like it being like just a wall of clothes.
Yeah, no, that's actually roughly exactly what's going
on.
Oh,
same
in
my room. Is like literally all clothes right now.
My dirty clothes bin is almost taller than me at the moment. It comes up to here, at least, my dirty clothes right
now.
And for the listener out there, I'm giving a near chin height.
Relatively near chin, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of exaggerate. It's definitely like boob height. I just didn't want to say that at first. Now I'm saying it.
Okay.
But yeah, it comes up really high. I also have this little pile of clothes that I've kicked off while just flying into bed.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I love that.
And I keep just walking over it. So it's a pair of black pants, it's a pink floral skirt, and some other pair of shorts it's on a rug in the center of my room between computer desk and bed. And I just keep walking over it. I know exactly where it belongs. I know which parts of it are dirty and which can just be rehung up. And then also on this little floor chair. These two chairs that are floor chairs. They're
like beanbag chairs?
Well, I have a beanbag chair in a different corner.
Of course.
I have a large beanbag chair.
So you go to the chair factory.
We're scene painting my bedroom.
You're one of the chair factory. Like, hey, I need all the kinds of chairs you have.
I have a wicker chair.
Oh, those are
the
best.
I have two floor chairs.
Yeah, one of the ones that like hangs up that's kind of like a Tweety Bird cage. They were really popular.
No.
My parents have two of those in Miami.
I had two blow-up chairs as a youth.
Yeah.
You remember the blow-up chairs?
Yeah, of course.
Like party space chairs.
Yeah.
Like blow-up chairs.
Yeah. Gonna be seeing one of those in a month.
Oh, yeah. But I had two of those. One was a Furby blow-up chair. Yeah. There's terror in your eyes, and that is accurate.
Nah, that wasn't terror.
Was it excitement? It
no.
was something, like,
it was...
very devious. It was like a...
Yeah, sure, whatever.
What about
I don't
Furbies?
Know. I'm just having fun. They terrify me slightly, actually.
But yet, like, you looked terrified,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, I know. I'm fucking with you, Marshall.
Oh, whoa, okay. My Furby
was you can curse this podcast, you should have realized.
Don't worry, I'm a peach. No, mine was really terrifying. I had a little mini Furby, and I threw it against the wall in my bedroom multiple times, and it stayed alive.
That's the scariest I've ever heard in my entire life.
It's... That's the thing. Like, so my brother, we would go to Toys R Us in Wichita Falls, Texas, with my grandma every time we'd go to visit.
Okay.
So, I'm from Enid, Oklahoma, of course. Everyone knows Enid.
Yeah, everyone's been to Enid, Oklahoma.
Yeah, so of course, Enid did not have a Toys R Us.
I
didn't
know about it.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Hey, I'm only from big cities, so whatever.
Well, so we went to the big city, Wichita Falls, Texas.
Yeah, of course.
And
everyone's been there.
Yeah, Wichita Falls. Great. That's where the band Bowling for Soup is from.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I had no idea you were a Texan fan.
I'm actually really into Bowling for Soup still, because sometimes they'll make references to, like, places in Wichita Falls, and I'll get really excited about it.
Wait, so you're from, like, South Oklahoma, right?
No, I'm from by Kansas.
Okay.
Sort of.
So, like, there's only, like, two cities in Oklahoma. There's, like, what, like, two cities in Oklahoma?
Not to an Oklahoman.
Okay, that's
fine. Well, actually, even people in Oklahoma don't realize how big Enid is. It turns out people had no idea that Enid was a major city, even in Oklahoma. But we have a super Walmart.
Oh, yeah, that's always a big thing.
Well, that's, like, why we're a big deal. Like, we're surrounded by dirt
roads. I actually do know about that, like, just because I went to college in Palatka, Florida.
Yeah.
Which is a shithole. It really is a shithole. Like, there is this, like, pretty decent, like, bottom 15 list of places in Florida, and it was number two. And the reason on the list was not the reason why it's a shitty place.
Right.
But
what was the reason?
It said, like, mainly because of, like crime. Which,
yeah,
but, like, the
reason,
I mean, it's bad. But, like, the place also was right next, there was a toilet paper factory that made 70% of the world's toilet paper inside of.
Right.
So the whole place smelled like shit.
Yeah.
And the water was, like, dirty, and everything was just bad about it. Like,
yeah, what was the
And also, there was a big KKK area there, too.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why I never told anyone my religion.
Oh, right on, right on. What was the big crime there, though?
No, there was just, like, a lot of crime. Like,
just
that's,
any kind.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
kinds.
Yeah.
Because the big
I never
deal,
was robbed or anything like that, so.
Yeah. The big deal where I came from, like, honestly, our high school is big. Like, we graduated, if people stayed in high school, which a lot of people did not, due to, like, the high teen pregnancy rate.
Right.
Or, like, also just people dropping out. But if people stayed, it'd be maybe, like, 500 graduating. I don't know. It was, like.
It's not that big.
It's, okay, it was, like, a big.
My school
know.
Had
3,500. We were the 3A division. 3A, maybe 4A division football. That means something to someone. That is important.
I love football, but, like, my, I mean.
We played against, like, Tulsa teams. Like, we were
oh, yeah,
big enough
times.
To, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were the big times. We were Friday Night Lights town. Like, that's what
I believe
we were.
That, yeah.
Oh, we were.
I said I believe that.
Yeah, well, we were.
Okay, well, I believe that.
No, we were.
All right, I believe that.
So the whole reason I brought that up is because, like, the Furby thing. So my brother would always go, when we go to Wichita Falls to my grandma's, and, like, he'd be like, hey, I want a new PlayStation. Like, there's a new PlayStation out. Like, I need that shit. And she'd be like, okay, I'll drop this huge amount of money and get you this cool thing that you're going to love and use all the time. Okay, Marshall, go to the girls' section and find something. And I'd be like, here's a $50 Furby that I would hate forever. And it was, like, all the toys that I would get at this, like, monumental, like, trip would be shitty and I would hate them always. Whereas my brother would get this, like, expensive, awesome game system that he'd use for years to come until they updated.
Sorry, like, you just made me smile, like, so big and happily inside my heart. Because, like, I'm, like, I've been a long time big gamer, so.
Yeah, well, last time I.
And also, let you know, Furbies are, like, the, like, so, I mean, we're the same generation, we're just opposite ends of the generation.
Right.
Because you're mid-20s and I'm late-20s.
Yeah.
So, like, Furbies were, I was just outgrowing of Furbies, like, right when they, like, got made. I'm like, that's fucking terrifying.
Oh, God, when all of us got Furbies, it was,
see,
like,
I was, like, Tamagotchis were really big for me.
I remember that, too. I had one of those, and that sucked, too.
Tamagotchis were weird, because, like, I just remember, like, there was one that I made I was, like, not happy with, so, like, maybe it should die, and I, like, didn't die. And then, like, well, there was one I actually liked, and it just shit, like, all the time.
Mine was a Dalmatian-themed one.
Oh, you're talking. Okay, you're talking later Tamagotchis too, to a certain extent.
Well, yeah,
like,
I remember,
I'm talking like the original, like in the egg type thing.
Yeah, this was a little egg. It was a little egg, yeah. But it was like, I think Disney was trying to market on it.
Right.
So like.
Yeah, because like Tamagotchi was like 97,
years,
98.
Yeah,
so.
It was a couple years later. I think this was like 99, and my parents were like, "Fine, you can get one."
And you got 101.
And I got I got like 101 Dalmatians one.
Probably Glenn Close on the actual egg thing.
No, it was like pure cartoon. Yeah. And I also had 101 Dalmatian Velcro sneakers. And I remember on a road trip in our Suburban, not necessary detail, but I stuck a whole bunch of chewing gum into the Velcro.
Yeah.
And it like wouldn't Velcro anymore on both sides. I just kept sticking chewing gum into it.
Okay.
Like chewed chewing gum. And then I couldn't tell anyone, and my shoes just wouldn't stick anymore, and then they got really dirty.
You were a problem child, weren't you?
But I wouldn't tell anyone about this, like, weird stuff. I also, same trip or another trip, we went on road trips almost every weekend.
Yeah, we did it.
We did all the time, and same, one of those trips, same age range, I shoved a whole bunch of raisins into the seatbelt.
You're, like, trying to kill your family at a small
age.
Well,
I had this thing, and Mom would always talk about this, she still does, about just, like, sticking things into holes. And I know exactly how it sounds.
Yeah.
But, like, I actually had
a problem
with it. Come on,
guys, Marshall's fully naked right now.
Yeah, you have to remember I'm fully naked. And so I'm demonstrating. No.
Guys, this is a really educational episode for myself, too.
Why is it so educational? Just because I'm naked. I'm naked and like pointing out like
like places where she put things.
This is where he touched me.
Oh God!
that's one of those, you know, really fun lighthearted jokes that everyone makes. No, I would go to like the park, right?
Yeah.
We're all at the park, right? And Mom would like look over and my hand is like through the fence and I'm stuck. And I'd just be standing there, and she says, always, it would happen. And then she'd, like, look over, and I'd be, like, grandma's, and I'd, like, have, like, my fingers stuck in, like, all of her, like, old ancient stuff. And I would just get stuck everywhere we go. I'd, like, I'd stick my head through, like, you know, the staircase and stuff. And I'd I would just always be, like, she would, like, turn around for, like, 1 second, and then she'd just hear, Mom.
So you're, like, this, like... I bet, like, my mind relates to the size, like, always.
Well, I was tiny.
I just get stuck. Like, I'm surprised I didn't have to, like, get you out of the stairwell, like.
This was when I was tiny. Like, this, like, weird phenomenon. And, like, a lot of it I remember because I just remember, like, being soaked down a lot. Like, I remember, like, having to be, like, pour, like, lots of lotions and soap and, like, get myself
just, like, buttered
out.
Up and, like...
Yeah, it was, like, being buttered down just always. Like, constantly buttered. Like, butter the child. Get her out.
What's your mom's name?
Annette!
Marshall's stuck in the rafters! Get the butter!
Yeah.
Get the good butter!
No, they probably just had to scream, Annette, Marshall's... I got it. I got the butter, honey.
I got the tub of butter.
They're just always carrying around a tub of butter.
Just like in her purse, it's just a giant.
Yeah,
it's just her purse butter.
Is just butter.
It's like there's a. It's like basically like your backpack, but like just a giant jug of butter inside of it.
Oh yeah, she just opens it up, pops it, butters.
It's like, and then I still smell like butter toast.
Oh yeah, you sniff me, it's straight up butter.
It's true, guys.
Yeah, that's why I took my clothes off. It was just too strong butter stench. No, I was a really absurd size, though, because that was when I was really tiny, but then I was really fat for, like...
You were fat?
Yeah, all my, like, middle years. So, like, from, like, 8 to 12, I was really fat. But no one told me until my mom, like, checked me into Weight Watchers.
Well, that's the thing about, like, I don't want to say, like, anything mean about, like, the Midwest, but I feel like, I mean... Like, everyone's kind of, like, a little bit puffier.
No, not, like the Texas not young girls,
oh,
actually.
Really?
Like, young girls are all cheerleaders and twirlers.
Oh. You weren't one of those?
No. I was a dancer. Not then, really. But I was a dancer for my youth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Long time.
See, I was skinny till I went to University of Florida.
Uh-oh.
And then, like, I gained my freshman 15 in my junior year of college. And then, like, I'm okay, just because I'm a character actor and I can enjoy my life. So, okay. So, what was like your big acting inspiration growing up? Did you always want to be an actress?
I always acted, actually. Yeah. I don't think I ever thought about, It was all I ever did. I started acting when I was 5. I started acting like before I could read. Sort of thing.
What was the first play you did?
First play I did is I was a mermaid in Peter Pan.
Nice. At the age like 5 or a little bit older?
That was kindergarten. And it was a, is mostly youth production. Peter was like a senior in high school, I think. It was all outdoors. Actually, if you Google Enid, I think this is still a big thing. Adventure Quest. We built it like that year. I helped build it as like a child. And that's like a big thing. It's like the biggest in the country community built giant outdoor playground.
Oh my God, it's awesome.
It's like this huge, it's amazing. Adventure Quest is amazing. Like, as a kid, and I bet if I go back as an adult, I'll still be like, this is the most amazing place in the world.
Oh, I bet you would.
It's like a big, it looks like a castle, it's all wooden, it's amazing. Like, I loved Adventure Quest. That was the year that, like, we moved to Oklahoma, actually.
Where are you actually from?
I was born in North Dakota, Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Okay. You're my second guest from the Dakotas.
Really?
Yeah. Ryan Carls.
Oh, like from the Dakotas?
I think he's from South Dakota, if I'm saying.
South Dakota is like a real place. North Dakota is like full of bison and jackrabbits and the military presence, which is why I was there.
Oh, you're a military child.
I am. My dad's at the Pentagon.
Cool.
Yeah. We were there because he was in Desert Storm.
Oh, wow.
So that's why we were in North Dakota.
See, I didn't know this. I did not know this.
You didn't know I was a military kid?
I really did not know this, honestly.
I am every single generation of my family is military. I'm like Forrest Gump. I'm like Lieutenant Dan. Like,
but with legs.
Well, he, his whole thing is that he's had a relative die in every major war. I've just had relatives in every major war and all of, it's just everyone.
That's like, all, I really did not know this about you.
You really didn't. My brother just got back from survival.
What's survival?
Oh, that's where they, like, see, I'm just like, oh, come on, survival.
I'm sorry, like,
come on.
I come from, like, I come from liberal Jewish New Yorkers.
I met my first Jew when I was 16.
The way you just said that sounded a little hateful, too, by the way.
What?
The way you just said that sounded a little hateful to me.
Really?
I met my first Jew when I was 16.
I ate my first bagel, too.
Bagels are the best.
They are. It changed my life. I, well, that was when I was 16 is when I moved to outside of Virginia. To Virginia.
Yeah, I knew that you lived there for a little while, too.
Yeah. No, survival is when they, like, test you. So, like, you're, like, test your limits. Like,
you and your brother's younger, right?
What?
Your brother's younger than you, right?
Older brother, yeah.
Cool. How many siblings do you have?
It's just Taylor.
Cool. I really had no, I don't know. Like, it's so funny, like, because you're one of those people that I know, I feel like moderately pretty okay, that I've not known for
but
that.
You don't know anything. Exactly. About me.
Exactly. Which is also like really, because I like doing these episodes of the podcast where like I feel like I like either don't know the person at all and want to know them.
Yeah.
Or like I just don't know much.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because people always say like, I don't know. People are always like, I don't know anything about you.
I mean, there's Louise is not her last name.
Well, of course it isn't. Louise isn't a real last name.
It could be.
Well, it's just people get so caught up in that. Like, I remember in college I was dating someone, and he came back to me just laughing up a storm because he'd been out with all of his friends, and they were like, yo, man, like, what's Marshall's last name? And it was, like, one of the first times, like, I realized people are, like, wondering what my last name is, and I was like, why don't people know it?
Yeah, I remember you told me 19. Long time, like, my first, like, because I met you, like, at the Beast Bar while we were getting, like, while drinking. Like, that's how I remember me.
But that's the thing. It's like, I don't care if people know my last name. It's just now everyone cares so much.
I'm not like, everyone cares. What?
It's just everyone is always asking me, and I'm like, I just don't like it. I've never liked
Jose
my last
knows
name.
Your last name, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he asked politely. He said, what's your last name? And with his, like, sad eyes.
Oh, God. That was the cutest line I've ever heard you make. Whatever. It's not a big deal.
No, I actually, in third grade, when I was learning cursive, was obsessed with making capital L's. This is actually an origin story. This is a legitimate origin story.
I'm in that same boat.
You like making cursive L's?
It's so when I do my signature, I pretty much just do MKLY.
Yeah. Those are great letters.
They're, well, M is like, M and L. I mean, we're both in the same boat there. Those are like the best letters in cursive.
I like the M all right. I never liked the, like, this is such a silly conversation.
I'm fine
and I
with
love
that.
It. I was obsessed with making cursive L's. I would just sit there and like cover a paper with cursive L's. And then like, I sat with my chin in my hand and I was like, when will I ever get to make a cursive L? And then just like look down at my name, like it's third grade, so like my name, like Marshall is on like my thing right there. And I was like, I could just write my name in all capital cursive letters. And then
that
the last.
That would be so hard.
Then I know. And then I was like, but you're not supposed to connect capital cursive letters. And I was like, And I was like, wait a minute. My middle name. That starts with a big L. And it was like huge light bulb. And I, you know, this is a serious origin story. I'm 8 years old.
Yeah.
And I sat at my desk and I just like wrote my name. And I was like, fuck my last name. And I remember like actually thinking.
So remember you told me you've been going by your middle name.
Since like the middle of elementary school.
So remember
like,
you told me that.
And I was like, fuck. And I actually never really learned how to write my last name in cursive. Anytime I have to sign like a check or like something important, like a document or anything, like, I'll stare at it for a little while and be like, I don't really know.
You remind me, so, like, earlier this week, I watched Billy Madison on TV.
I was watching Billy Madison on TV last night.
And my favorite moment in the movie, Rizzuto. And, like, Rizzuto? There's, like, large chunks of the movie that, like, I just...
Billy Madison is so good.
I still remember watching it, like, 9 years old in theaters. Because, like, that's, like, when I was, like, starting to watch PG-13 movies.
Yeah.
My parents determined that Adam Sandler was cool for me to watch, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, great. And I remember, like, being obsessed and watching, because like I was like in like third or fourth grade, like when they came, and I remember being so obsessed with that movie, like every year I'd rewatch it and like be like, ah, and then I got like really mad, like when he got to like, because I always get like where he stops school and then goes like to like the final stuff, because I feel like it's like ninth grade or something.
Yeah, it's high school.
Yeah.
He tries like a little bit of high school.
Yeah. But like, I just remember getting really disappointed in my life, like once like it stopped being like him playing dodgeball. Like I just remember like being
it's
like
so
I was like
sad.
Well, like no, I mean like so like basically I was watching a movie like in fourth grade, like, oh, I can't wait to see him do this, or
fifth
grade, like, ah, you know. Like I was obsessed with that movie. I still know
that movie,
like,
is so good.
I know like 60% of that script.
Oh really?
Like off the top of my, like if like someone says a line,
yeah.
Like I will like know the whole thing.
My brother used to be like that. Like he would dress like very, my brother's really quiet and like has a very low voice and I'm hard of hearing. And I actually can't hear, like, his voice very well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I cannot hear him. So, like, maybe he talks a lot more than I think he does, but I cannot hear him very well. But when we were, like, in middle school or high school, he would just, like, come out sometimes and, like, very appropriately quote things like Billy Madison, and no one else would recognize the reference.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And later I would get what the reference was. Because it'd be, like...
He'd be like, that Veronica Vaughn is one piece of ace.
But it wouldn't be something like that. It'd be something that, like, wasn't actually a quote from that movie. And then later we'd be watching it, and I'd be like, that was a line from this movie. It'd be like something.
Oh, it'd be like something really odd.
Like a legitimate line that no one quotes.
It'd be like,
it just
he makes that he makes that little weasel face.
Something like that. He's ridiculous. I don't know.
Yeah, I just pulled that
you
line.
You survived survival,
hey,
so...
I've survived 29 years.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. I just realized something really interesting, because this comes out June 1st.
What?
June 1st is 6 years for me in New York.
Yay!
Yeah, that's exciting.
That is exciting!
Yeah, you've been in New York for a while, too, now.
Yeah, 5 years.
Right, because you went to college up here. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Sorry, I just realized, like, I mean, I knew that it was coming up, but I forgot that Monday is actually anniversary.
Yeah.
And I moved up on a Monday, too, because I remember I saw my first play in New York, as a New Yorker, which was West Side Story, on June 2nd, 2009.
Wow.
The reason why that was my first show in New York was because my grandma, she unfortunately passed in February 2009, and she was really sad that she couldn't see me do Officer Krupke in college, because she was, like, sick.
Yeah.
And like, I saw it in her honor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a really cool story.
I enjoyed that. I mean, it wasn't the best production of the show, but, you know.
I actually did not see that production.
It was okay.
I remember when that came out.
Anita was great.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I mean, it's West Side Story. It's one of the best musicals of all time, you know?
Yeah, I love musicals like anything Andrew Lloyd Webber. I think we've talked about this.
We've talked, like, because we're both big musical theater nerds. I think you can sing and I can't.
I can sing.
Right,
yeah.
I can't sing.
You can't?
I'm a bad singer. I will destroy it in karaoke, especially with the...
I love karaoke.
With the band shirt that I'm wearing right now.
Oh, like Flight of the Conchords.
Why
didn't you say that out loud?
Because I felt like...
No one can see that.
Because maybe sometimes things are very secret. I don't know. I mean, I'm actually pretty open to the fact that, like, if the song Most Beautiful Girl in the Room is actually in a karaoke place, I will sing it and sing the shit out of it.
I love karaoke so much. I usually just, like, go for 80s jams. Total Eclipse of the Heart is, like, my go-to.
My immediate go-to song for karaoke is actually Are You My Girl by Jet.
That's fun.
It's really fun. It's easy.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just selling it. That's all it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you have to be a good singer for it. You just have to have fun.
Yeah, I haven't sang publicly in a long time, I would say. But...
Do it right now.
I felt like that was coming. No.
No, I'm not going to make you do it.
Absolutely not.
I mean, for those that don't know, I made Marshall paint on stage. Previous guest, Mike Kelton, and I Never Have I Ever.
That was great. Yeah, I'd be willing to, like, see, that's the thing about, like, a show like Never Have I Ever, because it's, the whole premise is never stuff that you, like, stuff that you've never done on stage. I have done so much shit on stage.
Same here, I'm actually having trouble deciding what I'm going to do for next month. I have an idea, I can't really say it, but I have an idea.
But it's like, if I, like, think about, just, like, I've done so much shit on
I've even
stage.
Been naked on stage.
I have not been fully naked on stage during a show.
She's like, but every Macbeth rehearsal, fully naked.
I got into a lot of...
Oh, by the way, I should let you guys know she just did a production of Macbeth that I actually saw, and she was incredible.
Yeah.
There was some stuff I had issues with in the show, but she was fucking incredible.
Thank you. I do plays.
Nice. I mean,
I have that reading coming up, but I'm playing, like, the silliest part.
So I should not? Well, it's Tuesday, you said, right?
No, the reading is on Wednesday.
I actually can't make that.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the week.
Well, what time?
I don't know.
Let me know.
I need to find out what my call time is, actually.
Because I have a pretty important thing that night, but if I can't...
Ooh, a secret.
It's theater related. It's acting related.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to become a working actor, you know?
Yeah.
Doing the best
actor.
I can. Doing the best I can.
Acting and working. Like actors. Acting like we're working. Yeah. Being a working actor is hard. That's hard work, actually. Like, my biggest audition ever was, like, roughly exactly a year ago.
What was it for?
For, like, a major film. And
can you say what it was?
The thing is, it hasn't come out yet, or...
What's the name of the film?
It was The Final Callbacks. I was in the room with just the director, like, this time a year ago.
What movie was it? Now I have to know.
We can talk off air about, like, who was doing it and everything if
want
to. Yeah, I mean, this was, like...
Is it, like, coming out, like, this summer? Is that what it is?
I don't know when it's coming out. Like, I've not heard a lot. There are, like, three big movies that I got to at least a first callback that I just have chosen not to, like, follow up with, what they did.
Can you let me know one of them that, like, maybe came out already? I don't know.
There's one that I think already came out because I finally ended up Googling it, and it was long enough ago. Let me think. That was with the girl... I don't know if it has the same title or anything, or if I remember it, because that was a little while before, and I think that one already came out. But that was with, like, the girl from, Revenge? Is Revenge a TV show?
Yeah.
She was the older version, and I was going to play, like, her flashback version of her.
Okay. I don't know anything.
I don't know. I think that one already came out. And, I looked up who... the girl was and everything, like stalked her for a little bit, and then I was like, this is unhealthy and weird.
Yeah.
Like, go away. And I was like, she looks cool. Let's move on with life.
She looks cool. Let's move on.
Yeah, no, and she had, like, a fun lipstick in one of her pictures. sure. So I was like, great.
Okay.
We're good.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, no, like,
but
for
it's
me,
a weird trip.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, I've not really had too many big things happen. Got a very exciting happening this month that you guys will hear about shortly. It's, I mean, if you're close to me, you know what it is. That's all it is. Even if you're not that close to me, you know what it is. But I'm not going to reveal it because I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I made the final cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what's like your big high school play?
My big high school play?
Or plays, because it sounds like you might have been the star of everything.
Well, my biggest thing in high school wasn't a play. Oh, that's what I was going to mention, is I got in a lot of trouble. I'm doing air quotes right
now.
Air quotes. I got in a lot of trouble from the parents, like the drama society parents, for not wearing clothes in the dressing room ever.
Jesus Christ.
Well, okay. I had a quick change during one of the
shows.
Guys,
let you know, Marshall's still fully naked.
Fully naked.
Well, and it's fine.
No, but I had a quick change in one show, and then we had a meeting afterwards, and I was just wearing, like, the leotard that I was wearing underneath it, so a nude leotard. And I was just, like, sitting during the meeting, and, like, the mom walked up, and she was like, just to let you know, Marshall, like, you need to be wearing clothes backstage, because some of us have our younger kids doing the roses for, like, all the people who buy roses, and, like, if you run around, like, from, like, the backstage where the dressing rooms are to, like, the front of house to, like, do something, like, blah, 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 our children will see you. And I just looked, and I wanted to be like, then don't have your children doing that. That sounds like a really easy fix, ma'am. But I was just like, also, no. Like, this is a backstage at, like, a theater. I don't care if it's, like, public school. Like, even if the principal came back here, I could just be like, I'm supposed to be naked right now, sir. Maybe you should leave. Yeah. It was a dressing room. And, like, we had this thing that, like, this high school in particular, I went to two different high schools, technically three. But this high school in particular, we changed the boys' and girls' dressing rooms to hair and makeup room.
Right.
And then our black box we used as co-ed dressing room. So I would just, like, be walking around, not ever completely naked, though. But everyone would always come up to me, like, all the parents and all the teachers would always be like, you've got to put on more clothes. And I was like, why me all the time? Everyone's changing, just because I'm taking my time. But my biggest, to go back to the question, I wanted to
defend
your
nudity.
Well,
hey, I'm
it
cool.
was stupid. It was such a stupid thing, and it became such a thing, because they all were talking about it, and they were like, someone's going to lose their job, meaning, like, the arts department was going to, like, get word of, like, people being naked and whatever. No one cared. I told them that, and I fought them on it. It's the stupidest thing to fight on. But I did. The biggest thing, it wasn't necessarily, like, the biggest play. I don't know what I thought the biggest play was. There are two plays I can think of. But the biggest thing was being state champion in Oklahoma right before I moved.
For what?
So, did you have forensics in high school?
I know of it. We did not do it.
Okay, so there's forensics, and there are some states that they focus a lot more on speech and debate, where it's a lot more extemporaneous speaking, talking on current events, people in suits. Oklahoma, at least when I was doing it, was a lot more on monologues, poetry, prose, like, be a character. Like, there was an improv section of it. There was a play section where you'd bring a one-act play. Our school, everyone hated the Enid School. That was, like, the years that I was there. It was hated.
And you went to the Enid School.
Yeah, I went to Enid High. No one would ever even place to go on to regionals from Enid High. No one had ever done it.
Oh, wow.
My best friend was 3 grades ahead of me, so she was already there when I was still in the novice junior high division and everything,
okay.
and cleaning up. Like, every single category that I would put in
I would
clean up. And there was, like, this point where our junior high coach, when I was in, like, 7th and 8th grade, I would prepare just for, like, monologues, poetry, and a duet with someone. And then she'd come up to me and be like, someone just backed out of dramatic and turf, which just means you're playing all the characters in a dramatic scene.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And she said, someone backed out. Can you make a scene up on the spot? Can you do that for 5 minutes? And I was like, sure, just to fill in. Because you got in trouble if it said Enid and no one walked into the room to present. And I was like, fuck, sure, I'll do it. So I was, like, 13 or 14, and I was just, like, standing there being like, mom has cancer. Oh, no. And, like, doing a scene.
Yeah, yeah.
It would usually be, like, dramatic and terp or, like, humorous and terp, and I would still win it. And I was like, you guys, that was made up. I cannot repeat that. And then they would, like, advance me, and then I'd, like, check and make sure none of the judges were from the round that I'd just done before, and I'd be like,
oh, God.
All right. And sometimes, like, it would get contested, and I'd have to, like, go to the, like, big room with all the judges, and they'd be like, were you making that shit up? And I'd be like, no, maybe I just messed up on some lines being flustered or something, and it sounded different. And I'd have to, like, defend the fact that, like, our school was, like,
yeah,
using me basically as a prop to, like, just fill in. So I had, like, a weird name for myself in, like, the state by the time I got to ninth grade. And I put in for prose, standard oratory, which was a speech, and monologues. And I made it to regionals. And it was the first time that anyone had ever made it to regionals from our school. I have this all on video camera.
I believe that, yeah.
Too.
Oh, don't worry. I've got big stuff from me from high school. My biggest thing from, one of my biggest things from high school on video tape.
Yeah. So I went. It was me and Miss K, and she was crazy, and I loved her. She got fired the year after I left. She was the drama teacher there, and we were the only two that went, and then there were a couple of people that were, like, seniors that were, like, there for, like, debate or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got first place. I was state champion, and it was, and then I showed up again sophomore year before I moved, and the same thing happened again in different categories, and that was a big deal, too, because by that point, like, as I was leaving town, I sort of didn't have any friends, like, that were my age, really. There was just, like, this weird point in time that I lost, like, a lot of peers, like, in
That's
school
so
and
sad.
Stuff. Yeah, like, all the people in the drama department started hating me because, like, they thought that I seemed, like, better than them, but really I was just rehearsing all the time. I was just, like, in the hallway or in a different room, just, like, really focused on, like, doing hard work. And then I lost, like, this whole other set of friends because I was hanging out with some older people. And, like, then, like, that relationship, like, blew up. I got in, like, some trouble. And then, like, had no friends for, like, a good portion of before I left. And then as I lost all of those friends, I made, like, one really good friend and, like, latched onto him for the last month that I was in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But that was it. Yeah.
Okay. Wow, you're making my, like, it's so funny, like, how, like, simple, like, my high school experience is compared to yours.
I never made anything simple.
Yeah, like, I mean, we had, like, best week competition and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
My senior year, on my first trip to New York, I discovered Avenue Q.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, just open up Broadway, like, a week before I saw it. No one knew Avenue Q in South Florida, like, in high school, because, you know, it's not real. It's, like, you know, it's, first of all, this was, like, 12 years ago, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, almost 12 years ago. And, like, it was, like, you know, it was, like, people, like, yeah, whatever, and then I'm, like, just the funniest thing ever, and I, like, and, so I did it, but since I can't sing, and I wanted to, like, get far into the thespian competition, like, well, attempt to get to the thespian competition with this, I got the best singers I could, and put together Everyone's a Little Bit Racist, where I played Brian, who has three lines in the whole song, and just surrounded myself with the best singers and got them, like, puppets and stuff like that.
Fantastic.
We swept in districts, and, like, we got, like, straight, like, perfects, and then, like, they did the Critics Showcase in districts, and we got chosen to represent South Florida, like, the Miami region, in Tampa for the state competition, where my parents even came up for that, and there's video of, like, every performance of this that made a DVD of, like, back then, and you see me performing in front of 2,500 people. Everyone's a little bit racist, and, like, just hearing waves of laughter. It was, like, that's the most scared I've ever been on stage in my entire life.
Yeah. I can't think of when I've been most scared on stage.
I've had anxiety attacks on stage because I used to have really bad anxiety.
See, stage is where I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably, it probably goes back to the fact that it's just, I was so young, but, like, I get really anxious, like, sitting with one person or, like.
Are you anxious right now?
Being quiet. No.
Okay.
But, like, I get really anxious in just, like, quiet social situations or, like, in a room with people. Like,
yeah.
I'll Irish exit like no other just to, like, leave regularly.
You, I have noticed that, like, twice from you.
Yeah, I will. I'll just, like, peace out. Or I'll drink a lot. Which, I've like, everyone, like, yes, I will, to, like, avoid any sort of anxiety. But on a stage, I am so comfy. It just feels really fine to me. Yeah.
And yeah. So you moved to New York for college?
Yeah.
And you went to, I want to say it was Marymount, but I don't believe it was.
I went to NYU.
NYU.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. What, and what school did you go to in NYU?
I studied theater and education.
So, because I know you got, like, chosen to, like Playwrights Horizons or...
Yeah, those are studios, and I did both, like, theater and education. So, like, a lot of, like...
Oh, okay.
What I did, like, both, like, classes on, like, instructing theater and also, like, studios of, like, doing acting classes. And I also focused a lot more, because you can do... You have classes that you can choose on your own. So I did, yeah, like, film acting classes and auditioning technique classes and stuff like that. Cool. But, you know.
All right.
Just the regular...
Nice.
Run-of-the-mill things.
And then you graduated 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And when did you start UCB? Because I know that you were...
It was about that summer.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, summers ago.
Summers ago.
Oh, my God.
Summers ago.
Well, because I think about it from, like, the first time... I don't know if this is entirely accurate, because I think about it from the first time I went to DCM. Was, like, a month after, like, my first class. But it was... But it, I don't know if that's correct, because I went... a summer before that, okay, to go see someone. And, well, don't look at me like that. Well, no, I knew a lot of people. Well, because I'm trying to track, like, when I started, like, actually,
yeah,
going myself.
No, like, because I'm just, like, my first DCM, all I did was see ASCAP.
Oh, okay, right.
I was in 201 at the time when it happened. Yeah. And I remember, no, I just finished 201. And I remember, like, John Frusciante was my teacher. I waved him in the back of the half.
Oh,
hall.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, because it's weird and interesting because, like, there was one summer in the middle of college that I stayed here. I always stayed in New York. There's one summer that I was here, and I had a boyfriend who went back home. And I was, like, not doing anything. I was laying around, like, the apartment where I was staying, and I was taking, like, one class to stay here. I was working on a project where we were rehearsing, like, once a week. And I started going with my friends, like, open mic nights, around.
Because I remember you told me, like, a while ago, yeah, you used to do some open mics.
Yeah, and, like, I was, like, 19 and had a fake ID, and, like, but I started
going. Which is also, like, you look young as shit.
No, I don't. It's funny because very few people ID me anymore. I don't know, like, what it is, if they just, like, look into, like, my, like, sad, I think it's just, eyes.
You don't have sad eyes. You have, like, hopeful eyes. You have hopeful eyes.
Very bright eyes.
You have, like, very happy, like, like, you're, like, you have, like,
crazy,
you have, like,
eyes. You can, you, say, no, it.
You have crazy eyes.
Okay.
You have, like, I just got off the bus because I'm Thoroughly Modern Millie eyes.
Oh, I'd be such a fun Thoroughly Modern Millie if I could tap.
You would be better for
the girl. The girl.
Yeah,
the
other,
yeah,
girl. Yeah.
Well, I saw Thoroughly Modern Millie one of the first times I ever.
My first Broadway show was Thoroughly Modern Millie.
I really like Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Like, it was an accident, too, because, like, we checked, my mom and I checked in at the Edison Hotel, and, like, then we're like, let's go see a show. It was, like, Sunday afternoon, like, 1 p.m.
Yeah.
And, like, we saw, like, Thoroughly Modern Millie, and I'm like, I like, seen that performance on the Tonys, let's watch it. And then, like, we bought tickets, and, like, it was Harriet Harris's last performance.
Ah.
And it was, like, just, like, insane. It was, like, great. It was, like, so much fun.
Yeah, my dad is, like, only into musicals that are Cotton Candy All-American classical.
Oh, okay.
Musicals.
So, like, he even liked Millie, even though that's not a class. It's a class. It's a remake of a classical musical movie.
I actually don't even remember his reaction to Millie. I'm just more thinking of, like, what we would always go to if we were going.
It would
all
be
together.
Like, if you were going right now to see a Broadway show, it'd be King and I and stuff like that.
No, actually, that's, I think King and I is even too dark for him. Mom likes King and I, but I think King and I.
I really
want to
see it. Actually, like, I'm not. I really want to see it because I haven't seen Kelly O'Hara at the Beaumont.
It's like, I love. aside from my weird obsession with Andrew Lloyd Webber, which can be a little bit tabled, we'll put that over here. It's a weird, deep obsession with Andrew Lloyd Webber. That's why I love, do you listen to Comedy Bang Bang?
Of course I do.
Well, I love whenever Andrew Lloyd Webber comes on. Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Well, Paul Tompkins is perfect.
I love it because it's just like, that's exactly the way I want, like, Andrew Lloyd Webber to be represented, because it's so outlandish and loopy, and I'm like, just like my obsession with him. It's so loopy.
If my friend Becky ever comes back to New York, you guys gotta meet. She's one friend of mine from college. I actually, like, liked Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I'm just letting you know, if my parents ever find, like, all of the home videos, it's me just, like, holding my Lamb Chop doll, just, like, singing Cats and, like, dancing in the living room. Like, that's what I did. That or Bette Midler. I had a lot of Bette Midler
tapes, of course you did,
tapes too. But, like, aside from that, like, I'm a big, like, Spring Awakening fan. Oh, God. Like, that's my jam.
I had food poisoning on a trip to New York. And
of course you did.
You make it sound like I'm a fucking mess of a human being.
No, I'm a mess of a human being.
But, so I had food poisoning, and, like, that was the first, like, I found that out at my first ever ASCAT, too. ASCAT got really sick at ASCAT, had to leave.
Wow.
And then the next day was Spring Awakening, and I remember just, like, feverish in, like, the Eugene O'Neill Theater, like, shaking, but, like, being like, this is amazing. Oh, yeah. Lea Michele's naked, because back then I crushed Lea Michele.
Everyone should, probably.
I had a crush.
I feel like she has, like, a weird personality, right?
Her personality is a little scary.
Yeah.
I also don't find her that attractive anymore.
Oh. She's cute, right?
She's cute. That's it.
I feel like I have, like, a weird perception of, like, attractive women. I've, like, talked with men about this before, and I'm like...
What do you think is an attractive woman?
This conversation I'm thinking of in particular was about one of our friends.
Okay, so...
And I was just, like, slamming my hand down and was like, she is hot. And all these, like, guy friends of mine were like,
oh,
no.
God, I'm so tempted to ask who it is, but if they...
You'd have no idea. But, I mean, okay, give me someone that you think is really attractive as a woman.
Rachel McAdams.
Okay, yeah, she's cute. That was easy.
Yeah.
But next?
Michelle Williams.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm obsessed with Dawson's Creek.
Of course you
so
are.
Always.
We had this conversation, actually.
Dawson's Creek is my favorite television show. Just for the listeners out there, I own all of the DVDs.
I don't want to win.
Oh,
we just got her sing. okay. I've got a very unhealthy obsession with Kristen Bell.
She's cute. I feel like she's fun, too. I like that. All right, nice women.
Yeah.
Good list.
I think I have a good taste
Fair
in girls.
List.
I think I have good taste in
good
girls.
Good taste in women.
I think I do the best I can.
I sometimes have a really weird taste in, like, guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, sometimes. I have a huge Joaquin Phoenix thing.
Okay, so you're like sad, brooding eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have like a really big sad eyes thing, actually. That would probably be the best way to describe all of the men that I've dated would probably be like sad eyes, like top of the list. Don't give me sad eyes now. Whoa, creep.
Yeah, I know. hey, you're the one that's been naked this whole
time. No, like, I've been naked the whole time, so it doesn't matter what happens.
Yeah.
No, like, talking about, like, that summer, so that guy was on a sketch team.
Okay.
At NYU, and, like, I had a previous boyfriend who was, like, really into improv. So, like, whenever I, like, that summer was just like, whatever, I'll, like, go to all these, like, places and, like, the thing that seems easiest, because of course I'm 19 and fearless.
Yeah.
It's like the thing that seems easiest is going and doing stand-up.
Okay.
And for some reason,
which is still terrifying to me.
It was ridiculous now that I'm thinking about it, and every time that like I look at anything that I did, I was like, it is ridiculous that I was so comfortable like doing that, and that it like felt like fine, and I was like, whatever. And I did, and like I like met a few people, and it was just like completely simple and easy. And then, like, just settled back into, like, regular pattern of life, like, that fall, I guess. And, like, acted like nothing had happened. But.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, who was your first teacher at UCB?
John Timothy.
Great man. Great friend.
He is a great guy.
Also, great episode of this podcast. Back in the 30s. He was the first member of Sandino to do the show.
I love you saying back in the 30s.
It's back in the 30s.
Because I right away, like, pictured the 30s, like the 30s, yeah,
not the 30s of this podcast. Should have been like 2012 or 13.
I'm picturing the 1930s.
No, I've been early 2000s.
I'm also picturing him wearing clothes from the 1930s.
And me probably wearing clothes in the 1930s.
No, for some reason you're just wearing that outfit.
I'm wearing this exact outfit.
Yes.
All right.
So you're clearly the time traveler.
Well, yeah, we all know this. I mean, I'm like the most vintage looking human being there is.
God, can you imagine being a time traveler?
I'd be really intrigued by it.
Where would you go first?
I probably would go 70s New York.
Really?
I know that sounds really weird.
You'd get AIDS.
Huh? Well, I want to see, like, how dangerous it actually was. Because,
really?
Like, okay, Taxi Driver is, like, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Taxi Driver is amazing.
Like, and, like, you know, I didn't watch it until I was, like, appropriately aged to watch it. So about, like, 10 years ago.
Okay.
And like, you know, like you know New York is dangerous back then, but yeah. You don't know how dangerous. I just would be curious to see that, you know? Like I would like Times Square and see what it was like.
Yeah.
I know it's like really kind of a boring answer.
No, that's not a boring answer at all. That's a really interesting answer. I don't know if I would do that. The thing is, like, thinking about all of these times that you could go,
I don't think I'd want to go in the future though, because that scares me.
Yeah, that scares me too. But also thinking about all these times, like, as I'm sitting here, seeing all these, like, lovely amenities, and yet, like, this is just a regular apartment, like...
Although it's a pre-war apartment, so it looks older.
But all the same, like, I couldn't have this air conditioning blowing behind me.
You wouldn't have that Sonos right behind you, too.
I couldn't have my beautiful Coke Zero, who I'm supposed to, share with Kelly.
We wouldn't be able to record a podcast.
Exactly. We wouldn't be here. I would be at a sweatshop if I went back to the wrong time, or I'd be being beaten.
Well, we don't want that.
Yeah, I can't go back to a lot of times. I'm a lady. I'd be stuck at home mopping, which I'm really bad at. I never clean.
I clean when I have to clean.
I'm real bad at domestic anything.
Yeah?
Can't do it.
Good to know.
Okay, good. Why is that good to know?
I don't know. It's like
the way you noted that was like,
noted.
When I enslave her and put her in my basement, I know which duty she cannot do.
Clearly, you know I have a basement here. Actually, there is a basement. And
I live in the basement of my building.
Yeah, I remember you told me that once.
It's creepy and dirty.
You're trying to make me scare you right now. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Then I should have said, like, I live in the dungeon of my apartment building.
Nah. Yeah, sure, whatever. Getting ready to wrap up, though. This, you're giving me, like, really good transitions, like, what I have to do in a podcast, so I thank you for that.
No, oh, cool.
What's about Marshall Louise people might know that you're okay sharing?
Oh, what?
What's something about you that that people might not know that you are okay sharing?
Oh, people might not know that you're okay sharing. Oh, I was thinking about this recently. I was in a sorority in high school.
That's a weird one.
Right? It's a weird one. Yeah, there was a high school sorority, and I was in it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you the president?
No, because I left.
Oh, right, yeah.
It was Oklahoma, clearly. But, yeah, it was...
Okay.
I recently was reminded of it. I'd kind of forgotten all about it.
Yeah.
And I was recently reminded of it, and it all came back.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a unique one.
It was weird.
That's I never
heard. Have you seen Dazed and Confused?
Of course I have.
Okay. Are you my answer?
No, I'm a movie nerd. You know
I
this.
Know,
you know this about
I know, we've discussed
like,
it.
Huh?
We've discussed it. We talked about how much we love, like, 1963 and, like, specifically...
No, 67,
like,
actually.
Yeah, 67. I brought up 63 because of it's a mad, mad, bad
yeah,
world.
Which is a movie that I try to watch as often as I can.
Oh, so good!
Because I have the Criterion DVD and
version.
Also makes me wish I had a 4K television so I can enjoy the 4K transfer of it, but that's a different story altogether.
No, so in Dazed and Confused, when they have all the girls, like all those scenes that they cut to, and they're like frying like bacon and like pouring shit on them, it was a lot like that, but imagine like in the middle of the night and like the hazing gets like a little bit worse and like more modern, and like everyone's in like skimpy clothes and there's a mud wrestling competition. All
and
the
you're,
guys
you're
have...
Nude, Louis-tard.
Well, no, I was in, like, a bikini, like, all the other 15- and 16-year-olds. And, like, all the guys have paddles because they had this society in, like, the 70s in my town called the Drunk Devils, and they were trying to bring it back, like, the year that I was there.
Okay.
They kind of did, but yeah. It was like that, you know, everyone on their trucks.
Doing donuts?
Oh, sure. There were so many donuts. Oh, we went mudding. I've gone mudding.
I've never gone mudding.
I'll take you mudding.
Okay. You have a pickup truck for that?
We had a pickup. I learned to drive in a pickup truck.
I never drove. Yeah.
I lost my virginity in the back of a pickup truck.
All right. That's something else I did not know. Cool. Was the mudding happening, or were you doing donuts while that happened?
No, it was my driveway.
That's awesome. Daytime or nighttime?
Nighttime.
That would be great, like, daytime, of course.
Just past curfew.
Cool. I'm sorry, I have a better response than that.
You were asking about pickup trucks? I was telling.
Hey, it's cool. I'm fine with it. All right. Clearly, you are, too. You're sleeping
there. I'm the one sitting here naked.
And I'm here. No, I'm not even going to finish that statement. So, where was I? Oh, yeah, okay. So
you're so flustered right now.
No, I'm not, actually. I'm having fun. And I'm not flustered at all. Okay, so there's Kima. I've done this podcast like 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I was like still trying to remember what goes next in the order.
Okay.
So okay, what's something looking forward to coming up that does not involve you, like a movie, a TV show, a book? Play?
In the next, how long was the increment of time?
Lifetime.
In the next lifetime, yeah. That I'm really excited about that doesn't involve me. I'm excited. Oh shit! What am I excited about?
You can even say a movie if you want.
I love that. Let's go out next week. I don't know what's coming out or what I'm
just say Entourage.
For what?
Just say Entourage.
Oh, I'm so psyched to see Entourage. Don't hold your face like that. I'm psyched.
I actually want to see it too, honestly. I'm trying to get my roommate Mike to do it because he doesn't like the show. But
do you like Entourage?
I actually really like it. I do too. I really did honestly genuinely like it.
I think
drama is a really funny character.
You like drama?
I love drama. Who do you like?
You're
an E person, aren't you?
Wait, is E the short one?
E is the main one. Turtle you're thinking of.
No, I'm thinking of Kevin Connolly's character.
E.
Is that E?
Yeah.
Love him.
I remember like being obsessed with him.
You watched Dawson's Creek, right?
A little bit, yeah.
He dated Abby from Dawson's Creek. Right.
Also, he was on my favorite Married Children knockoff.
Oh.
Happily Never After.
Yeah.
You remember that show?
No.
It was, most famously about it was, like, the dad would talk to, like, a puppet played by Bobcat Goldthwait that was, like, in a couch.
Oh.
And Nikki Cox is on it, and I remember thinking, oh my god, she's hot.
Oh,
and she's still kind of hot. And she's married Bobcat Goldthwait.
Interesting.
Actually, I really do want to see it, but I'm trying to get, my roommate doesn't want to see it, like, at all, so I set up a GoFundMe account. Because I was like, how much would it cost to see that movie? Is it, I don't know, like, $40? So I set up a GoFundMe account for $45.
Oh my god, everyone.
$55.
GoFundMe.
Send Mike Romanos to Entourage on GoFundMe. It's $55.
Yeah.
I really want to see him in that theater.
I agree.
I will see it because I have a movie pass and I want to see it.
Double that amount and I'll go with you guys.
So for $110?
Just the cost of my ticket.
Really. Oh, okay. Okay.
Sure. People get it.
Yeah. Alright. So, okay. What about things that come up that involve you?
You can get me a child's ticket, though. That's a fun trick. No one IDs me at bars, but everyone IDs me at the movies.
Yeah.
So I can buy children's tickets going with, like, an adult. And then I pointed at you because you look like an adult.
Yeah, I know.
That's something that's always... Actually, you saying, like, that's creepy. That's something that's always bothered men. Like, they're, like, taking me out. Yeah, like, I have an ex-boyfriend who used to get so pissed and would always blow up at restaurants when they'd offer me a kid's menu. Like, I guess it's something...
He, like, flips tables. Like, what the fuck? She's a woman!
Like, a slight shit, and I would be like, it's fine. Like, that's an honest mistake. Like, I'll, like, order a drink or something, and it's fine. Like,
yeah.
it'll just be a funny thing that that person did.
Like, get the mac and cheese, like the kid sells mac
like
and cheese.
Yeah, like, this is a smaller portion of foods. This is all good. Like, why are we having a meltdown right now?
Like, flips tables, like, what sets people on fire.
Yeah, and it's just like the weird teenagers working at, like, an IHOP. Like, let's just let them accidentally think
they
that.
They sell alcohol at IHOP?
No, I was just saying.
I'm fucking with you, you know that.
Also, why doesn't IHOP sell alcohol?
I don't know. Their breakfast food's pretty fucking good, though. Like, I used to, when I lived in Queens, I would always go after Nerds to the IHOP.
Wow, that's a really late
on 14th Street
trip to IHOP.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're drunk and want some French toast.
I used to love, like, really late trips to IHOP when I was, like, a teen.
Oh, yeah, but now you work at, like, 8 in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, gotta wake up so early always.
Yeah. All right, so about things, plugs for your Twitter, Tumblr, shows, etc.
Yeah, I think everything that you can find is just at Marsha Louise.
Okay.
It's always... usually that.
That's 3 L's, guys.
I know, that's why I like it so much. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it's like Marsha Ooies.
Yeah. Marsha Ooies.
Marsha Ooies. Ooies!
Whoa!
Okay. Any shows coming up, or?
I feel like I don't know.
Okay, no problem. I'll plug my stuff quickly. At MarkLevy85, so Twitter and the Instagram, which I've been getting a lot of follows and a lot of likes. A lot of likes. So I'm really shocked by the joke. Huh? Some of them are pretty funny, I'm not going to lie. I'm very proud of some of my Instagrams. Also, letting you guys know, tonight, if you listen to this on Monday, Fallen Socks is performing at Kunk at Creek in the Cave. Come out to see it, 10 p.m. I don't know how much it is. Probably free. Also... very, very excited for Forms from the Bucket this week. We've got Black Sabbath, which is a really awesome all-girl team. We've got, we also have, Cyborg Valley, which is a very, very funny team. And Free Kittens, which is like one of my all-time favorite indie teams. And of course, Mr. Danger. We might have a weird, really weird form thrown into the bucket this month that we create. Don't know yet about that yet, because I have to confirm with Scott. That's okay. Also, I want to plug something that I'm not directly involved with, but I love it so much, and you guys have heard almost every major person involved in this show, on the show throughout the years. The Chris Gethard Show just started on Fusion. If you have Fusion, watch it. If you also are free on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m., they live stream the recordings. And I went to the first one on Tuesday, which had Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer from
Broad
City.
Just made them into one person.
Yeah, I just combined them into one person, and they're both very different human beings. They were at the show, and it was amazing. Like, the Chris Gethard Show is the best thing ever. I love it so much, and I get very honored whenever I get a chance to watch it or be at it, and Gethard's, like, the best dude in the world. Like, he inspires me so much as a human being. I just wanted to plug that. If you have Fusion, watch it, please. Seriously, like, it's... if you want to know what I've been, like, raving about for so fucking long, watch it. I've been raving about this, about the Chris Gethard Show, since this podcast started, honestly. Because I started attending the show, like, 3 years ago. So, yeah. So, Marshall, thank you so much for coming out today and doing the show.
Yeah, no problem.
I feel like it made you feel very awkward by that rave.
By that rave? No, it was great. Yeah. I saw Connor Ratliff today.
Yeah? Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. He's a great dude.
He's my practice coach.
Oh, sweet. All right. And we'll say hi to Connor then.
We'll do.
He also was a great episode of his podcast back in the 40s.
Back in the 40s.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you guys next time.